What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome to the Good Behavior After Show. We're reviewing two episodes tonight, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Do you guys like my song choice?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear you pick this.
I just surprised by the troll.
Yes. You know, no one asked me about the song choice. My milkshake doesn't bring boys to the yard.
It's not better than anyone's.
I mean, it doesn't even matter what it brings anymore. You guys have an infamous picture from these parties that you go to all the time together, and I'm not in a single picture.
Well,
I feel left out.
There's a thing called Photoshop. We'll get on that.
Maybe you should be
How about a thing called real life? How come I can't just be in the pictures
with the crew?
We tried
to include
you
in our
day.
One day. Lucky for everybody else, they could just look at our Instagram. So what's going on, guys? I'm Olivia Gebre. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter, @real_o_g. Check out our pics. Our photo
with
you're
each other.
The real OG?
With each other.
Okay.
She's with
OG. Okay.
She goes
just
there.
So we're clear. Anyways.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I'm Madison Makeley. You can find me on all my socials and the tweet @Maddie_Makeley.
What's up guys? I'm Abigail Frere, and you can find me on all social media @AbigailFrere.
And
you can find me there too.
I already have.
He's
and
been
I
stalking.
Go around tagging all the pictures that I should have been in that I'm not. And I am Tehran, literally @IamTehran, all across IG, SC, TW, whatever other initials that are social media based that you can think of. So
awesome. Well, I'm glad we have a stalker on our panel because now you can tell us what it's like firsthand to be a stalker because Javier is also a stalker.
Javier from the show Good Behavior is not a stalker. He's a hitman. So
half stalker.
So same thing?
Christian's
for you?
A stalker.
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Christian's not a stalker either. He's a parole officer. Why? This is the inner thoughts of girls that a lot of guys don't realize. Like when a guy is just the difference between a lover and a creeper is one thought. Like if a girl doesn't like a guy,
one thought?
He's a creeper.
Like
yes.
THOT.
Exactly. No, not that kind of thought. Okay, see, this is the real OG. I'm talking about an actual intellectual thought.
Okay.
Where a girl, if a girl likes a guy, he's like, oh, this is so sweet. Everything he does is sweet. And then if she doesn't like the guy, everything he does, the exact same things, is creepy. And we saw that with Javier's interaction with Letty, because he's clearly a hitman that she's really attracted to, even though he goes around just killing people.
Well, she likes the bad boys.
Right.
So yeah, we're introduced to Letty first thing, first scene of the episode. We can tell she was just working at a restaurant, but then her manager spilled the beans that she's just a junkie, and she got fired.
Actually, it was junkie whore, and
she didn't just get fired.
She attacked the guy who was trying to rape her.
And that
makes sense. That makes sense.
No, I'm not saying that she shouldn't have been fired. Yeah. What I'm saying is I felt like we saw a part of her character and her personality in that attack is that she doesn't take ish from anybody.
Exactly.
But then I feel like we haven't seen that again.
Well, no, because she's...
I feel like we've seen that. Until it comes to like personal things, like her son.
Well,
but everything else, I feel like.
She has, like, no control of her life, pretty much.
Right.
So even if she didn't want to take anything from anybody, she has no choice but to. I mean, she has to answer to a parole officer.
But she doesn't.
I mean, she kind of does.
When she's not, like, overdosing.
Yeah.
I feel like her parole officer is totally turned on by her badassery, though. Am I the one that thought that?
Does he like her?
That's what I thought.
I feel like he was hitting on her.
Me too.
I think that, yes. But I don't think it was a hitting on. Like, I think he's just turned on by her. I don't think it's...
Yeah.
Like, I think he would...
He's sort of looking out
think...
for her best... Not her best interest, obviously, because her best interest would be for her to answer to the parole officer and not drink alcohol and do drugs. But he kind of... He's on her side about things. And he's a little bit flexible, yet still authoritative.
I think he's still waiting for, like, a thank you.
What do you mean?
I don't know if he's waiting for a thank you, like a thank you?
No,
or
like
an
a
actual
thank you.
Like a sexual thank you.
A sexual thank you, I think
possibly,
is what he's waiting for.
Possibly. We don't know enough about Christian, the parole officer, yet. But what we do know is that he is very... lenient when it comes to Letty for whatever reason, because she seems to be like this fallen angel that everyone seems to see good in her, that she doesn't see in herself, which is why she hits rock bottom. And this isn't the first time that she's hit rock bottom, because she was so comfortable hitting rock bottom. She was so comfortable being in that bathroom and just cleaning up in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. She was so comfortable not having an explanation for where she was in the second episode, and so comfortable getting meth in the first episode. So
I feel like he actually is so turned on by what a badass she is and how like she carries herself with it.
Well, she is a badass. You know? We saw how confident she could be, and she just plays the part and everyone kind of believes her, because right at the beginning of the first episode, she didn't have a job, but she still found a means to make money, and that was by robbing hotel rooms.
I feel like, though, like, I feel like she's not a badass. Like, I don't think she's a badass. I think she plays a badass well. Yeah. Like, I was noticing that she only really excels when she's playing a part.
Yeah, it's like her persona, like, her alter ego comes to life when she's
I feel like she has, like, 100 different identities. She has whatever identity she wants in that moment, it feels like. You know what I mean? Like, she makes up her own story to every person that she meets.
She's definitely a compulsive or pathological liar, where she's able to do so flawlessly, and she executes these stories that are mostly make-believe, but we don't know if they're rooted in truth or not. Details, any good liar knows that the details, the truth come is in the something. Details. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these details can come from something. All we know is that she's in pain, and she's trying to run away from what we do not know yet in the first two episodes.
And I think her outlet to escaping this pain is to take on different personalities. Yeah. So she plays like this very proper woman, very confident proper woman at the original hotel, which she obviously has an inside plug-in that's assisting her in robbing all these hotel rooms. But then she made the mistake and got caught up in the closet. And that's when...
Closet. Yeah, and R. Kelly's In the Closet came on when it was happening.
That would have been a good opening song.
She hit rock bottom from there.
But the opening song they did use was X's and O's. I forget the name of the song, but it alludes to like having a son and raising him into a man and teaching him all the things that they don't understand. I think those are the lyrics. And then so it's just interesting that those songs actually play a part. So they foreshadow a lot of details in Letty's life.
I think it's so interesting how she listens to those tapes.
The self-help tapes.
But are they helping at all? I feel like that's the person speaking that she wants to believe she is, but deep down she knows she's not.
Or maybe she just wants to better herself. Right. Like, she wants to be a better person, especially we see that the end goal for her is to get her son back, right? That's something that motivates her more than anything else. She has this compulsion with stealing, which is like her hobby or something that gives her a thrill. She has this, because we don't see her having money, even though we see her making money. She has this compulsion where she needs to hurt herself. She has this thing about guilt. The only thing that I felt was her strength was her son, which was kind of awkward because he was black in the window. And we don't know that story. Like, there's just some black kid. It was like a black kid in a window. And she's clearly not black. So there's more to it than we know, even though we do know it is her biological son, because her origin story is introduced to us when Javier comes and finds her in the motel as she just used a bunch of money in order to get high, and goes off on how he knows her and knows every detail, and then rattles off details of her life.
But she listens to the tape while smoking a bunch of meth.
It's kind of ironic.
It's totally ironic how that's why I feel like she wants to believe that she's this person when really she's not, you know?
I just think she can't get there. She wants to be there, but it's just, I think that Javier is going to be that, obviously, that propeller, even though I'm kind of I mean, I love this show so far, but I think it's cool because I want to find out what the wife did that he killed, the first person.
Oh,
like,
me too.
I really now, like, with that closing, like, when you find out actually what happened and, like, why he killed the man, like, I want to know why he killed the wife,
in
too.
The second episode.
Yeah,
because you find out he's, like, a hitman with a heart.
Right, that's what, and I'm like, well, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe sexy hitman with a heart. All of us were drooling. They were drooling over Javier, and I'm like, he is a murderer. Like, you guys. He's a nice murderer.
He's like Batman.
Was he so nice when he was choking up Letty every 2 seconds? No, was that nice? Because I saw a bunch of gasps.
I want to know though how he got away from that situation when Daphne had the gun pointed at him and all the police came. How did he end up killing her and get out of the situation?
Because that was okay.
That's
why
I
want
to find out. Yeah. She was dumb.
Why do you think she was dumb? Like, the wife was supposed to call Daphne in the first one.
She had so many opportunities. Like, that whole scene had me just so angry because she should have shot him. Should have shot Javier when Letty was up there.
She should have just left.
I have a question. Have any of you shot anyone?
No.
So it's probably not as easy to do as you think.
No, but I think if someone was intruding on my house and I knew they were hired to kill me, do you think that I would just stand there being like...
But she knew that the cops were coming.
Yeah, you leave. I'm going to stay. No, I would want someone
with me.
But
she called the cops on her own house. So yeah, when the cops show up and she's holding a gun and just killed someone in her own house... That they're gonna be like,
she's defending herself.
I know,
it's her property. She would get away with that.
100%. I love this because this is amazing.
Though?
I don't think that's how it plays out as smoothly legally. It sounds really good on paper.
But let's
suspension of disbelief allows us to forget that it's a TV show for a second. Yeah. Let's take it to real life, right? So you're in a house. Remember, this isn't just a logical situation. She is full of emotion. We don't know why he's sent there to kill. We don't know the reason why. We're assuming she does. Why her husband wants her dead. We don't know anything of this. Javier is a trained killer. She is not.
Right.
So, of course, she's going to allow emotions to make mistakes. And Letty's never been in the situation either. She's a con artist criminal who decided to have a change of heart for a split second. And then we see that she does take the money and does take the car. She gets out of the situation. When the going gets tough, Letty got going.
But she kind of fell into this situation. Right. She didn't intend for any of this to happen. She got trapped in a closet, found out.
Committing a crime.
No, she didn't get trapped. She did not get trapped. She chose to hide in the closet.
But she had any other choices?
But being trapped, I think it makes it sound like someone put her in the closet.
True.
But she didn't have a choice. She had no way out unless she was going to expose herself.
Yeah, I think Letty could have gotten herself out of the situation at so many points.
Well, this is my question
to
you guys.
It's hard for me to feel so much compassion for her at this point.
But did she feel morally obligated to save this woman? Like, what would you do in this situation?
I think to a point. Like, it was like, yes, go Letty. Like, you're doing something out of your normal character trying to save this woman. But then you just fell right, like you said, back into your normal character. And you took the car and the money and you left. And like,
when in reality, Daphne should have took the car.
Right, she should have got her ass out of that house.
I don't know why Daphne thought that was remotely okay to throw out the woman that is trying to save her.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
she was doing her a favor. Like, hey, you need to get out of here because you will go down
with
this situation. Even though...
I would have been like, stay here. Let me shoot it.
She touched a bunch of stuff, so I don't know why they wouldn't just have... I feel like evidence. Fingerprinting hasn't been invented in this world.
Well, this is what... She even said out loud, you saved my life, get out of here. The police are going to assume that you are part of this because you're present. But, I guess... Because my train of thought was, Javier would just be dead, so he can't even say that there's a third person there, but she wasn't going to kill him anyway, so I guess...
I want to know how they got out of that whole situation.
Daphne being a ninja.
He's trained. Flip that gun on her.
He's not a ninja, but he is a trained hitman. He's a trained hitman who's obviously a professional. He's a professional enough where his reputation precedes him, as we see in the bar where people treat him with respect, and we see that element of fear when the bartender... automatically says, it's on the house. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't know she was with you. When Letty goes in, who, by the way, using her real name as a professional con artist, that's a little awkward because she's a professional, yet she used her real name on the first con that she was pulling on Javier.
Rookie mistake.
But we saw the bartender treat Javier as if he was on eggshells because he carries himself as a man of respect, which is a term for a lot of mafia or gangster mafioso tendencies, which he seems to have.
I thought he just had plugs to that bar. When
he was a bartender. Oh my god, do you know Trevor? I know Trevor.
I just thought he was super plugged to that bar, and I don't know. And then when she came, I don't know.
Because if you think of, I mean.
Well, she was plugged to the hotel, so I don't know who. Everyone's so collabed in this kind of show.
Yeah, but like,
that, like, I
having like
that,
a plug at the bar is not like
initially it could have seemed
thing, but that's not really a big deal.
It could have seemed like he had a plug, but then as we got to know him a little bit more, he did always present himself as like a very respectful person, and people like fear him. And so as we saw in the second episode, when he was meeting everybody's husbands and when he was like greeted at the hotel, everyone just treated him as like the big man, you know, the boss. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily because they knew him, just because of the way he acted.
Right.
So it's interesting that the first episode's title was "So You're Not an English Teacher," because that's the actual that's the con which Letty presents him,
yeah,
is that, oh, I'm an English teacher who's writing this book. And they use a lot of pop culture references. So Ryan Gosling is mentioned in the first episode, The Bachelor in the second.
The girl on the train,
how she's a writer, which makes us feel like maybe she has this innate need to be a writer at some point, or she would love to be a writer or write about her experiences or have a truth. I see that Letty wants to be more than what she actually is. So it's like she's ashamed of who she really is. And so she finds her truth and her reality in these lies. And she presents them in comics.
Well, isn't that like a disorder? Or like, don't... Kinda, what is that called?
It's called crazy. Humanity. No. So what happens is we all have... But it is, though. Word persona comes from the word mask, from Latin personae, which is just a mask. We all wear these masks. Hers are just more blatant towards everyone. So it's more of... We know that it's a blatant fantasy, but we all do them. Like, all the things that we do,
to
whether
an
we
extent.
Wear... Of course. And she's just taken that to a different level. So, yeah, she might be a kleptomaniac in some regards, and she might be a compulsive liar. But what it comes down to is she is a person who's just hurting, and we don't know that backstory yet.
I think that hers and Javi's relationship...
Javi? You just call him Javi now?
I'm sorry. We're
going with the nicknames now. I'm sorry. I'm calling him
Javi.
You went
there.
That just makes me a scandal.
Anyway, I think that they're so attracted to each other because they see each other so much in one another. Like, they're both such badasses. And, like, they're both, like... Well, like, Javi had so many chances to kill her, and she had so many chances to kill him. And they just haven't yet.
Well, because...
I don't
first
think
of all,
she had any chances to kill him.
Yeah, she had a gun pointed at him. What
she
do you mean?
Said
she
said...
That was one time, and she blew it because she's a pussy.
But well, she said but she would never kill somebody.
But I feel like she didn't
want
to kill him.
But I think that's... Like, personally. I think that's where the deeper thing is. There has to be some sort of a murder situation that went on, because she's, like, so against murdering someone.
Well, whereas most con artists, we see that actually a lot of con artists don't go the violent route. That's okay. How they justify what they do. They're like, that
they're
person gave
anyone?
It to me.
Okay.
Oh. They're giving me.
It's
they're willingly to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a sucker, and that's why I was able to play them. They're not using violence. Most con artists don't use violence in order to intimidate.
You seem very knowledgeable in this area.
Yes, I know.
So we gotta hide our stuff.
I already took it.
Oh,
anyway.
Haven't you put your stuff back? God. Really? ColourPop? Yeah. So listen, I feel like, okay, can we discuss the sex scenes? Can we get to that point
yet?
Yeah,
well, I don't know if she can, because I feel like every time
the sex
scene came
on,
yeah, you
were like looking away.
She's like standing there like,
what is that? Oh my God.
Well, I don't know.
Initially,
it's a penis. Like,
yo,
booty.
You know what? I think it's just them. I think it's the fact that it's just them, and they're both such, I think, horrible people. It's personally, I don't like either of them, but then again, I love both. I don't know.
Well,
weird.
You don't love their tendencies,
you don't love
but
their
as
tendencies,
people.
But, like, just watching them is just weird to me. Like, they're both, I think they're both junkies, even though he claimed that she's a junkie and he's not. I think they both just suck.
I don't think he's a junkie.
I don't
think
he's a junkie.
A control freak.
He's
and
a,
if
yeah.
you notice, he has
a Virgo.
Control.
He's a junkie, but he's an asshole.
He's a Virgo.
He's a Virgo.
I mean, as someone who doesn't drink, smoke, or do drugs, but right. was around a lot of different elements as I grew up, I understand that tendency to not want to do stuff, mm-hmm. right, in that way, and then do what people might consider bad or illegal in a way mm-hmm. and still feel very powerful within them. In fact, the line between powerful people, whether they're wealthy or criminal, is very fine. Right. Like, it's very, mm-hmm. very fine. It really depends on your zip code a lot of times, more so than your characteristic or mm-hmm. personality or, like, your moral implicity. It has a lot to do with where you're born. So mm-hmm. Javier, in any other situation, would be a CEO. He would be, mm-hmm. You know, this financial whiz or whatever it is. He just happens to be a hitman, but he's very exact and calculating. And we see he's very intelligent, and he's Castilian, which is an interesting aspect because we find out he's Argentinian of Castilian descent, which is why he could pull off being from Madrid, Spain.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more from what we've seen from both of them so far and what we do know that whenever I saw them doing it, I was like, I just don't like you guys.
Well, initially they were attracted to each other before they knew each other in depth.
I mean, they though? She was conning him.
Yeah, but he was attracted to her. And you know something?
She
was conning him, but I don't think she would have gone that far. She got the feels. She took off her wig. She revealed herself to this guy.
Well, it's like almost she almost had to.
Well,
I was thinking that in
about
Alabama
because
it's like, right. She's like, oh, by the way, I'm a brunette. Like,
that's like when
I'm waiting for you to do that because...
It's all blonde. Sorry. We have more fun. No, but sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I wanted to hear
they're
this.
Having sex, like, I think that that's really, like, they had to role play to even have sex a second time, because I think they're, I think he's kind of disgusted with her, like, in her.
You
in
think
her,
so?
In her actual, like, he pities her. And
in a, I think
in her like her real self. So I feel like they have to role play almost.
He pities her. Keep, like, what do you mean?
Like, he feels like she's. He feels sorry for her.
I don't
like
know if he pities her. I think he sees potential in her that she doesn't see in herself, and that annoys him and frustrates him because she is amazing. He even says you could be one of those. Like, you could own all the stuff that you steal.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you're maybe that... pity is not the right word, but he still I still think he feels sorry for her, and I don't think he's attracted to her her real character yet.
I don't think Javier is a sympathetic person. If he had sympathy or empathy, he would be unable to do the things that he does. In fact, that's one thing about a hitman or a cold killer, that they have a lack of empathy. A lot of them,
but
that's why they are...
But he's empathetic to Charlie's parents.
No,
well, they're also paying him. Paid. They're paying him.
Yeah, he's not doing it. It's not like he's
it's not a favor.
A superhero. This isn't Iron Man. This is a hitman who's getting paid, but maybe he chooses... He chooses his victims to be someone who's been wronged in a way because that's how he justifies what he's doing. But he has no empathy when he's able to kill a husband and a wife in the second episode and injects a lethal injection. Lethal injections are like barbiturates and paralytics and potassium sodium. Like, it's like harsh. You know what I'm saying? It's a harsh way. You inject someone and they die. Puts them in a trunk of their own Tesla. You can't be an empathetic person.
I think that he looks at her as an easy target that he can control.
Who, and Letty? I don't think she's an easy target. I think she's like the stallion who he likes to control because she's not easy to control.
I think that he knows that she's skilled at what she does. But I also think after him seeing that she's a junkie, he thinks that she's an easy target that he can control and use her skills for his own good.
So, bottom line,
we think that, like, he's probably just doing this for his own benefit.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then maybe he'll develop feelings.
I think...
You think he really, like
feels
something?
He sees a potential in her of greatness, okay? To be on that level, because he sees himself elevated. He doesn't see himself as a petty common... criminal. Right. And there's a hierarchy in crime that exists, right? There's a hierarchy. So people who do certain, like mafia members, think they're better than drug dealers, who think they're better than shoplifters, who think, like, it goes down.
Right, right.
And he sees himself as higher than that. And he sees that she should be elevated to his level. But I don't think he's just like, Javier doesn't seem to do anything easily. He doesn't even kill his victims easily. He actually goes through the motions of making it like a redemption or redeeming in some way before he kills. That's not an easy thing to do. So I just don't see the same thing you do. I did like when you said, I think it's interesting that you don't like them, because I think for criminals, they're both very likable. Like, Javier's sexy as hell. I feel uglier about myself. Like, who's this guy?
I just don't like them together. I don't think they... Right now, I just don't think they're complementing each other very well. I think in the beginning of the episodes, we saw her being a little bit more powerful for her own good, like on her own, independent woman, whatever, doing whatever she does. You know what I mean. for her, in her life. But now she's totally overpowered by this guy.
But she's also not, like, getting high on meth.
I just think in a way, she doesn't really have self-control because she's a victim to all these substances, and he kind of holds that over her in a way. But, however, I do think they complement each other because each of them have skills that will contribute to an end goal. You know what I'm saying?
But they're not working as collaborative.
Not yet. They're working out the kinks.
I think that they will get to that level,
There's a strength in subservience. Like, that's actually a part of faith or any religion. Like, there's a strength that comes from being subservient. There is. And so that's why, in fact, in their first sexual encounter, which was a lot more racy than I expected for TNT, because it showed it was like it was like a doggy thing, right? It was like hot. But when he starts in the elevator, he starts with the neck and then works his way down, right? He shows and she even states it in the second, I get it, you know how to train a dog. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of Stockholm syndrome sexuality that goes on right now. It's like the Beauty and the Beast situation.
Yeah, right.
But there is power. And I don't think Letty is exactly powerless. I think in a lot of ways, she actually does want to be there. And she doesn't know why, and it scares her why. And it scares her how attracted she is to this guy. Mm-hmm. And maybe even vice versa. but she wants to be there. And so she actually is a lot more powerful, and I think we'll see that as the season develops. She's a lot more powerful than what's being led on right now.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it. We've only seen two episodes. So the first episode.
Have we? Because she saw like 15 episodes.
You've seen the whole season now, I guess. But in the first episode, I saw a different Letty than this one, I guess. And this one, I don't like seeing her. I feel like she wants to be an independent, strong woman. She even, like, listens to tapes to train herself. Deep down, she wants to. She does.
See,
Abby,
I'm not disagreeing. I think she does want to be independent, but she pisses me off.
Abby, don't let her tell you what to think. Don't let her make you independent. I will get you those self-help tapes.
She does. She wants to get out because she tries, like, three different times, but, like, is she really trying? Like, no. I don't think in her mind, like, I don't think she's, she's doing the actions, but she's not mentally, like, really convinced to leave. And she's, honestly, she's screwing shit up for herself. The wife was not going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
She was.
Wait.
I think the wife was going to be killed.
You think he was going to kill her?
It's just.
I don't think he was going to.
She was the 100%. Last missing link. Like, he had to kill her. That's the loose end. The wife was the loose end. They have to both disappear at the same time in order for this crime to go off unhitched.
And the wife is technically still at blame for it.
I don't think so.
Well,
because he was, he said.
Wait,
that,
Robin? Are you talking about Robin?
Yeah. What was the husband's name?
Bill.
Bill?
Bill.
He said Bill was going to die of a heart attack. So what? Bill dies of a heart attack and so does Robin?
Same thing. No.
No. Bill was just going to die. She was supposed to watch Robin. Yeah. He was going to probably come back and Bill was going to either be in the golf cart by his car, like, oh, he went to put something away and, like, you know, Javier walked in the hotel and
they
Bill
had checked
died.
Out of the hotel. Remember, he says, but they're no longer staying here. Like, I don't know.
I personally don't think Robin was going to die.
Maybe I understand what you're saying now. I see it in that way because she, the plan wasn't for Robin to see all this.
She wasn't supposed to be there.
But
she was
supposed
to be inside.
Like, another part of me is she was there when Charlie died. She was the passenger, and she was forced to keep all this a secret. Right. So she was kind of like not an accomplice.
She's an accomplice. Technically,
but
she is.
I don't know that Javier knew that.
But she isn't an accomplice to Bill dying until she sees Bill dead. So I'm with you. I don't think he was going to kill Robin either.
And nothing shows us that Javier knows that Robin was in the car.
Well, he has to, because how did he even know that it was Bill that killed
her?
Because
they traced the car.
If they chased her car, he would have been in jail.
But, like, Javier did or something.
But Robin knew because she told Letty the story right before they found Bill dead. So I don't think he was going to kill Robin. The only reason he did was because she saw Bill dead. Of course, she would be like...
Right.
Yeah.
I think she messied things up trying to get out. She knew that
Javier had gone to play golf with Bill and that was the last person that... was seen that had been seen with her husband, who's now at the least missing, right? So they would have had to question Javier at this point.
But I don't think he was going to be missing. I think it was because he said it was going to be a heart attack. So I think he was going to literally just be found on the golf cart.
But weren't Letty and Robin just going to dip out on both their husbands?
Yeah.
Weren't they dipping out anyway? So once she saw that Bill was... She didn't know that Bill was dead at all. She had nothing to do with it. Letty or Robin,
you're saying?
Robin. Robin had no clue Bill was dead until she physically saw Bill dead. So... Before that, her and Letty were just going to dip out on both their husbands because Letty's
trying to get
down.
But this is my question. Did Letty know that it was Bill that was going to die, or did she think it was Robin that was going to die?
No, she knew it was Bill. At least we knew Bill was going to die, but if there was no connection... So here's my logic, right? So Robin would have just found her husband and been like, oh my God, what happened? He had a heart attack when the paramedics came.
Yeah.
Why kill her when... That's the best case scenario. Yeah. She found her own dead husband as she's trying to leave.
But as she's trying to leave her husband. So how do you explain that to cops? Oh, I was trying to leave
my husband. That leaves it on Robin. There's no... Now you don't even have to explain anything else to cops. There's no connection with Javier or
Letty
at all.
But Letty was leaving too.
But so, I think the reason they killed her is because his trunk was still open. Javier was still, like, cleaning shit up.
No, there was no... Trunk. No, it was the Tesla's trunk that was open. So she opened the trunk. Javier actually wasn't... It was the Tesla trunk that Robin was fidgeting to find the trunk. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So they were stopped by the Tesla, and by there was probably going to be a heart attack by the Tesla. Okay.
So why kill Robin at that point if that's not his intention, if it's not to kill Robin?
Honestly...
I don't know if he meant to kill Robin or not. That's it. I'm just giving out scenarios.
I don't think he...
Another thing is... maybe he just wasn't done. Maybe he wasn't going to leave the golf cart there. Maybe he was going to put him back somewhere.
It wasn't done. I think that they just rolled up at the wrong time. And she was victim to timing.
Right. Who finds a dead man in a golf cart after golfing where the other guy just leaves? And he wasn't even in the driver's seat. He was in the passenger seat. So it's not like...
No, he was... Yeah.
Yeah, of the golf cart. So
Javier wasn't done.
I don't think he was done with the crime scene. So no one was supposed to find Bill dead at that spot at that time.
It's a professional hitman. I'm not leaving the evidence where it's going to be found by someone else. I'm not going to leave the evidence where it's going to be found by someone else. I'm going to stay with the evidence and make sure, if I'm not done cleaning it up, because look, what if it wasn't Robin and Letty, right? What if it was one of the bellhops? Would he have had to kill them? That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll believe in a lot of things, but coincidences are hard for me to fathom. The universe is just too big a place, right? So let's say it was a bellhop or someone else who randomly was going to their car. Was like, oh my God, I need a piece of gum and I need you to put it in my mouth for me, whatever, right? So he was going to go to the car and then get gum for this person who they were going to put gum in Maddie's mouth, for example. Whatever. Abby was going to put gum in Maddie's mouth. Whatever.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah, she does. She does that all the time. I witnessed it firsthand. So, and she's excellent at it, by the way. Amazing. Okay. So what if that happened? He's just going to be away from the body and be like, you guys saw this. Like, no, he's a professional. Let's give him credit for being a professional, which he's shown time after time. He escaped the inescapable situation.
I would agree with that. I think the thing that made him kill Robin then was the fact that Letty was there, because he didn't know that Letty and Robin were planning on dipping.
Sure.
So this was him kind of saying, oh, you're going to try to run away from me again? Like, I'm going to... I don't know.
I didn't see that aspect of Javier either. It was just very calculated. Like,
yeah, it was like, we gotta do what we gotta do. Boom, done, boom, in the done. Car. Let's go.
It wasn't out of retaliation. There was no anger in his movements. In fact, I've only seen him show anger towards Letty, and it's only been specific times and it's been controlled anger. It's not out of control anger. It's the anger that you show like a good parent, or like a parent shows a discipline needed kid.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's, like, he grabs her,
her child.
He holds her, yeah.
But he's trying to fix her and trying to like make her a real person again. And everything he does is extremely calculated. Everything he says, every movement, he even like plans ahead for possibilities that could happen. He already has a plan for that and already has something to prevent that.
But I would have to disagree that he doesn't seem angry. I mean, even when we see them in the golf cart when he's, you know, telling Bill all the things he doesn't want to hear. I mean, these are people he's
forceful,
killing.
Forceful and forceful anger are two different things. Right. There's no emotional, like, attachment. What he's doing is he's being forceful because it is what is needed at the time. It is necessary for the action at hand. So we'll see that actually with CEOs who fake getting angry in boardroom meetings in order to inspire, or situations like that. So it happens. Coaches do that when they're talking to teammates and their team players, and they somehow inspire. Like, it's just a false sense of an emotion. So this is what you as a person need to know is happening. You are being forced to do something whether you want it to happen or not.
It's the alpha dog.
It. Exactly. It is very alpha.
Right.
Which I feel like Javier is definitely an alpha. I mean, everything about him is 50 Shades of Grey.
I mean, yeah.
I would agree.
Oh, so now you agree.
I agree.
No. I
compel.
Yes.
Good. You're good.
Convinced.
You got
her.
One.
I compel. Oh. But, yeah, I don't know. I have a question.
Your question?
Why did she buy the book bag? I was confused about that.
I think to hide the
alcohol.
I thought deeply into that.
I was like,
too.
Why would you spend $16.99 on a book bag?
Yeah, she started stealing other things. Like, she put stuff. Didn't she put stuff in the bag that she
but
the stole?
The only other
it.
Stuff that she stole. Well, she stole stuff, but that stuff all would have been less than $16.99.
I think she had to justify her spending this money and like hot. Because if she just bought the alcohol, money would be missing and she would have nowhere to hide it. So she had to buy the backpack to spend the money, and then she could hide the alcohol in
it. She's like, I got a few other things, and so she didn't have to tell him she got the alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like,
I didn't read that far.
I feel like if he saw the alcohol, he probably would have taken it.
Yeah, of course.
Like that. And she has a compulsion for stealing. We see her when she walks into the hotel in the second episode. She automatically looks at a necklace and goes, I need to steal that.
Right.
And then she does actually steal another necklace later.
And she literally says, I can't drink, so I stole a wallet for fun.
Yeah.
Why does he not want her? Obviously, he goes through the effort of taking alcohol out of the room and, like, doesn't want her drinking around him, but then he's totally cool with her getting wasted in front of other people. Like,
maybe just because she's playing the part.
It's the part, yeah. I think because he even, like, gives her... Throughout this whole episode,
that's why I'm a little concerned. That's why I think he's just using her.
He's giving her, well, yeah, of course he's using her, but I think he's giving her specific directions on what she has to do and basically how she has to feel. So in order for her to get into that place where she can mingle with these girls that she doesn't, she even says, I don't want to be those women down there. But right. I feel like alcohol is, like, her only way.
She throws shade on Lauren really well. Yeah. When the drink, she's like, it's like, I'm so, because Robin's so like, I'm so good. And she goes, I'm glad, too. Yeah. Like, she said, it's shade. She is throwing shade at her, like, yeah. I'm glad I just threw my drink on you, too.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't want to be like them. She has no desire to be like them. But I think that's the only way that she's able to remotely
get in
relate
those places,
to them.
Right?
And it's interesting that he allows her to do that because obviously when you're under the influence, you don't mm-hmm. have control over yourself. And she's in this place where she could expose so many things and so many things could go wrong and she's not in the right mindset.
I disagree. She actually proved herself that first night. She didn't expose anything, even though she was extremely drunk.
No,
she stayed on task, and that's a thing that he took note of.
I agree.
She was wasted, and yet she didn't slip up. She didn't mess up. She stayed in control, even though she was extremely wet. I mean, we saw her stumbling, and she had to throw up in the bushes, and she's just not extremely coherent, but she's still on top of her game, which is a very intricate skill to have.
That, and also, even when she did kind of mess up and steal that necklace, even though that's such a small thing for us to see, especially for her, he immediately even makes her return that. Like, kind of saying, like, don't slip, you have to do whatever I tell you, like, by direction, you know? Like, I feel like she's so held, like, captive by this guy right now.
She is, to the point where he gives her freedom in order to test her captivity, which is, like, something we see in actual kidnap victims, mm-hmm. where the ones who are the most victimized are the ones, they're, unfortunately, children who've been kidnapped, and they still go to a school, or they go out to, and they don't tell anyone because they're so victimized, they don't know better. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's the case or if it's a situation where I feel like in some part deep down she actually wants to be there.
I agree.
And she enjoys this. Mm-hmm. There's a part of a lot of this that she is actually enjoying.
Mm-hmm. I think she's testing out the waters.
And like, she is a tester.
Yeah. She's seeing how far she can push. She's mm-hmm. seeing how far he's going to push her. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think eventually this is going to become something more than just, like, a victim and the controller.
It's, oh, they're going to be
become a team.
Right, right.
I feel like this is her way of making it seem like this is where she belongs. Like, she's finally worth something. She's finally helping someone. And which she's never... is or from
that's
what we've seen.
I have brought you over to the dark side. Yes, I agree.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have a kid. I mean, she doesn't have a kid anymore.
She wants him back.
She wants the kid back.
But she has never probably felt that accomplished, maybe. And now she's finally helping.
Well, she
someone.
Has a purpose.
And has a purpose.
It makes
somewhere.
Her feel better about doing the things she enjoys because someone else is doing it.
Worse.
She's just
doing worse.
Right.
Yeah. So,
exactly. Like, oh, but she's killing people. So it's okay if I steal this.
Well, now
stuff.
She's the victim, right?
Right.
She's his victim, whereas she was victimizing everybody that she was stealing from and tricking.
Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the scene where, and by enjoy, I mean I thought it was actually a very good nod towards Boogie Nights, where she makes the phone call to her mom, and her mom doesn't allow her to see her child. Like, mm-hmm. you can see that angst, and you kind of see, we don't know exactly what's going on at that point, but we know there's some conflict, and there's this thing, and it reminds me of the scene in Boogie Nights where Amber Waves, who is played by, I forget, actually, I'm the worst with names, but she's, like, trying to call to talk to her kid, and the father of the child won't let her see mm-hmm. her child. And it was like, I think it was a direct nod to that, because the scene was very similar.
I gotta catch that one. I
Boogie Nights?
It.
Yeah, it's
good one?
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, I love Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it's a lot of sex. It's about porn stars
Boston,
anyway.
You know? Okay, yeah.
What part of Boston are you from? The part that's outside of Boston?
The part that's right outside of Boston. I'm from Medford. Why? You're familiar?
No.
Oh, I'm just saying. It's like five. It's like the exit before. You know what I'm saying?
I'm from Boston.
You know, yeah. Well, because what?
That's like being from Pasadena.
No,
and then
it's not.
West Side.
It's not because people will be like, "Oh, I'm from Boston. And they're from frigging Cape."
I'm liking this. I don't have to throw all the shade.
She made it sound like she's a Southie.
I'm not the shade you want. I'm just trying to make it easy for those who are unfamiliar.
Like you're a Southie, like Mark.
Whatever.
Maria's
from Medford too. Yeah. And they all say they're from Boston. I have a right. Don't take my right away. Okay, anyways, do you guys have any last-minute predictions? I know we kind of had tossed them in there already, but...
Yes.
Go.
Because I watched the previews for the next episode, their car gets
hit. So they're
hit.
Not your prediction.
I know, but my prediction...
Okay.
Hey, can she live?
I guess. Let me live.
Yeah.
Bro. All right, fine.
The car gets hit, and the car that Letty's driving.
Yeah.
And then they, like, leave us in the suspense of the car getting hit. And obviously, I don't think that they're going to find the bodies, but I think that this is going to be a situation where she's always kind of pushing against Javier, and I think in this situation, she's going to kind of fold to him and actually start working with him to get out of the difficult situation. So I think that's going to be, like, a turning point for their like, relationship.
That's really? Going to be the key.
Yeah.
I think shit's going to hit the fan. And I think one of them are going to go down for it. And they'll get out of it in some way or another. But I think at first they're going
to
go
well,
down.
Well, they have to get out of it because there will be no show if they don't get out of it.
There will be no more seasons.
And the rest of the show is just them in jail.
But I think they'll end up at a police station at some point just, like, because...
Talk their way out. See Letty's real skills.
Really? Yeah.
That's possible. But I think they're too swift to get caught.
They're going to have to put their skills to the test.
Oh, the parole officer is definitely going to play a role in this whole entire thing.
But that's almost good in a way, I think. Because what's his name? Javi. Javi even watched her talking on the phone with her parole officer. Even though she wanted to tell her parole officer so bad, like, the position she was in, he made sure that she didn't. So if her and her parole officer go one-on-one, like, she could reveal...
Well, because she confides in him when she was taking a swan dive off the back of the whatever she was doing.
The wagon?
The wagon.
Do you know what that means?
Yes.
As 50 Cent once said.
Thank you, 50 Cent.
He was kidding. I know.
I was just going to say it's 50 Cent. So, now I know. That's what I think.
My prediction is that all three of them are going to be taking selfies while we're watching the show again. So
I did not take one selfie.
Pictures that I wasn't in. I'm just throwing that out there.
He's jealous.
Okay, are you guys ready to wrap this one up?
Okay.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in to our first
real quick, I hope Javi wrapped it up because we don't know where Letty's been.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
She
uses meth. Like, can we talk about how that was, like, a thing thought of? I'm so sorry.
Is Chrissy the word for meth? Is that, like, because she's like, have you seen Chrissy around lately?
Okay, anyway.
That's why I thought it was crack.
They're that, a could thing
be.
Over there.
That could okay. be. Let us know in the comments if Chrissy means crack. We'll see you guys next week. I'm your host, Olivia Gabri. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter, @_O_G.
Thank you guys so much for watching. You can find me on the gram and the tweet @Maddie_Makely.
Oh, word.
Word.
Word. Sure tweet.
Thanks for following, guys. You can follow me on all social media @AbigailFrere.
Well, I can be cool and I can be the bathrobe heartthrob. I'm @IamTehran all across IG, SC, tweet, and Pete, and all that good stuff. I love this show. I really enjoy the panel we're on.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll take a picture after.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.